the volume.
Oral Sessions is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hey guys, welcome to Oral Sessions with Renee Paquette. This is where we mash up the best of the week. We take our interviews from Tuesday and Thursday, what those episodes were. We take those highlights, we put them together all here in one convenient place for your listening pleasure. Hopefully you guys enjoy what we've put together here for you guys. And if you want to go back and listen to these interviews in their entirety, you can do that right here where you're listening as it is. So anywhere you guys are listening to podcasts, you can go back and find those full length interviews. But otherwise, we've done a little bit of heavy lifting for you and gave you guys some of the highlights from what you want to hear. But you know, we're so lucky with all the amazing guests that we have on Oral Sessions that I'm sure if you're fans of these people, you're going to want to go back and hear more of their story, hear more of who these people are and what makes them tick and what has led to their success, all that fun stuff. I love what I get to do here, and I love getting to chat with all these interesting and fascinating people. It's a hell of a time. And yeah, now we just get to do a little best of here on the weekend. So here we go. Let's get into it. Here's the best of from this week on Oral Sessions.
Welcome to Oral Sessions. I'll be your host this evening. My name is John Moxley, joined by my friend Emilio here on Oral Sessions. Yeah. See, that was my Ryback voice that Renee hates. But it's not really so much a Ryback voice as it is kind of an amalgamation of Ryback and, you know, that Offspring record where they do Intermission, Ixnay on the Hombre, and it's like, Intermission. Yeah. But when I say Oral Sessions, I have to do it in the voice. And now here I am hosting this show. On my day, I'm about to have a kid. I just flew from Jacksonville, competed in a crazy man. I can't even barely walk today. I don't know how many of those I got left in me on pay-per-view in front of 5,000 people. And then I fly all the way home. I got stuff to do. I got bills to pay. I get, you know, I'm still finishing editing a book. I'm dealing with artwork. I'm talking to people on the phone. And then I got to come in here and do her job too. I am really, really carrying the workload around here, but she's carrying like 35 pounds of goo in her belly and a human. So it all evens out in the end. But here I am hosting a show, completely unqualified for this, and this is going to be a total shit show. We're going to just going to see what happens. I understand we've sourced some questions from the audience, the loyal Oral Sessions audience that loves Oral Sessions. Yeah. Here on the volume, you know, so I'm a professional. I get in here, I get the job done. I'm like an entertainment Navy SEAL. You stick me in anywhere. Give me that Kelly Ripa fucking gig.
So what would you do differently as opposed to Kelly Ripa if you were to host it? Like, how would we change live with Kelly and Ryan and just make it John and Ryan?
A lot of morning drinking, a lot of swearing. You know, it would really tank the whole thing or change television completely. I don't know. But give me a call, you know. No, I want her to get the Kelly Ripa gig because I want to just be a stay-at-home dad and go do indie shows on the weekends. So I want her to get like that giant fat paycheck so I don't have to work. Because I did all my work on the front end, you see. Right. So I just want her to make all the money and I just want to relax. See what I'm saying?
That's literally living the dream, bro. Like, I want to be a stay-at-home house husband in the worst possible way. Like, I'm a big This Is Us guy, so I'm watching that, and Toby's over here flipping out about needing to go back to work for his mental sanity.
We're just watching that. Stay at home. Take care of the kid. You had the kid. You're responsible for the kid, okay? Somebody's got to take care of it. She wants to go to work. What are you complaining about? And you know what? Fuck Kevin. I'm sick of Kevin. I'm sick of his attitude. No, he's a bitch. I'm sick of his attitude. He's always got to create problems. He's got to make everything dramatic. You know, I'm glad that girl dumped him. I'm glad she didn't marry him. He didn't deserve her. They weren't in love. He was not in love with that woman.
His ex-girlfriend said
I'm glad she saw this.
He's just, he's one of those pleasers. I think he's one of those settlers that just settles for happiness because he feels nobody else is going to love him.
Kevin is nothing but problems. Why has everything got to be so dramatic? So before we get into these questions here, you know, I feel like now I'm at work. I'm going to give everybody a lesson here how to get fired up, okay, before we start taking these questions. This right here, Tiger Balm. Even better if you get the red stuff. I basically live by this. Only on show days, even though sometimes I want to do it on an off day when I can't walk or I feel like crap, which is basically every day, save it for the show day because the smell of Tiger Balm makes me know that it's fucking go time, right? So that's what we're going to do right now. Here's a little trick. Here's a little trick a wrestler called Bull Payton told me before my second or third ever tag match. Very intimidating guy, kind of a biker looking kind of thing. Very successful veteran of the industry. He had a baseball bat and a leather jacket and the spikes and the whole thing. And he goes, stick this up your nose. I don't want you getting blowed up. And so I did. And I went, ah, and now I have a superstition to where if I don't have Tiger Balm before a match, I fear that everything will just go to absolute hell. So in the interest of, you know, props and visual aids here on the volume, I'm going to do a little bit of Tiger Balm. So I'll stick over on your camera. Get in that. Oh, yeah. I should have sent you some. Here we go. This is a pro tip. There we go. If you're going to do the whole neck and everything, you need rubber gloves. You know, you can get them at Walgreens, trainer's room, because you don't want to get Tiger Balm in your eye right before you go out. More importantly, you don't want to get Tiger Balm in your urethra. Which happens. You know, there's nothing you can do. You just have to wait it out until the, there we go. Feel that burn. Let's take some questions.
We use the hashtag AskMox. Now, you can ask Mox anything. You could ask Mox about relationships, groceries, taxes, professional wrestling, whatever.
I'm very wise.
You are. You are what we call Dr. Feelgood on the Valentine's Day episode. And you answered many a question about romance. So this one comes from that guy, Travis. And he goes, hey, John, freshly engaged, and I'm wondering the very obvious. What would you say has been the key to your successful relationship? I know it takes so much just looking for your number one bit of advice.
Oh, I knew I was going to have to do this, and I hate to do it. Here's the situation I'm in. You know, I have a book that's available for pre-order now, right, that you can go on Amazon and buy. Chock full of life advice on matters such as these. And I don't want to give away the farm for free here on the volume because, you know, I'm trying to sell some books. You know, I'd like to sell a few. You know what? I don't really care if I, you know, whatever. So I'm going to have to give away, I'm going to give a little bit, but I can't give away the whole farm. So this is the first time of like a dozen more times throughout this podcast where I'm going to be like, well, if you want the full story on this, you can read my upcoming, because I wouldn't call it an autobiography, really. I don't even know what I would call it. It's trash. It's a terrible book, but it's going to sell a bunch of copies. You can buy it for pre-order at Amazon right now. I'm going to say that like 12 more times. So to answer your question, if I had to give you one, what is the key? I'll give you two. Now I'm not going to give away the whole farm, but I'll give you two. Happy wife, happy life. Keep them happy. That is your job. Like, you know, when you're play football, you're on the defensive line, your job is to stop the gap. I'm covering a gap on this play. We're in a 3-4 or we're in a 4-3 or whatever it is. I'm the defensive tackle. My job, you know, the football coach says, do your job. I plug the A gap. Your job is to keep your significant other happy. And everything else will just fall into place. So stay focused on your job. Most importantly, sex. Lots and lots and lots of sex.
What about some Tiger Balm up the nose before sex?
No. Two different things. Two separate worlds. You know what I said about the urethra. Don't get it anywhere near.
I mean, some people have different types of kink, Mox, but that's neither here nor there.
You got all kinds of body parts, orifices, nipples flying about. You don't need any Tiger Balm anywhere near that situation.
All right, so this one goes to Lady Regan, and she wants to know, if your daughter wanted to get involved in the wrestling business right out of high school, what would you tell her?
Was really passionate about it, then yeah, go for it. If not, if it was just like a playing around thing, then go play around with it. Sometimes you get into some stuff and you play around. Sometimes you're gung-ho about something. I was gung-ho about this. All I've ever wanted to do, this was not a playing around, having fun. This is not let's try this out, see if it works out. Like, you know, some people come into wrestling with that attitude and then go on to make millions of dollars. Then they get really good at it, you know. So it can work. But, you know, me, this was my life. This was it. It was no other anything, you know. So I would assess where her mindset was. And if it was like, hey, you know, get in there and take a bump, see how that feels. And then, you know, maybe everything changes. So, yeah, I mean, but if she wanted to go be a circus performer or a math teacher or join the Peace Corps or be a pro wrestler or a hockey player or ringette, we don't have that here, but Renee might be able to teach her to play ringette. Whatever she wanted to do, I say do whatever you want to do, and I would support.
So if she came to you and said, Dad, I've been watching a ton of your old deathmatch stuff. I'm ready to go. I want to go through barbed wire. I want to have the spooky light tube dust busted all over my head. How are you reacting to that?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say because this person isn't in existence yet. So I don't know this person, you know? So, I mean, my initial instinct is like, okay, maybe not, you know, you don't need to do that. I wouldn't tell her no. I would guide her. I would say, if you're going to do something, here's how we do it safely. Because I'd much rather her, you know, like how parents say, like, oh, I'd rather them drink in the house if we're home than they're out at some party. We don't know what's going on. I'd rather supervise it. So if she wanted to go, if she ever wanted to get into wrestling, in theory, I would rather guide it and make sure it was done correctly and safely and right and for the right reasons and so forth like that. But I don't know this person yet. She's still in my wife's belly. I don't know who she is.
I mean, it's going to happen. You know, you will shape and the whole nature nurture thing will come into play. So either they're born with it or it's made over time.
I've got like stacks of parenting books. I'm like, I'm not even reading that because it's too much. I'm looking at this like, I'm just going to call this in a ring. Everybody tells me that, you know, it all is natural and your instincts take over. And I'm like, okay, well, then if that's the case, I'm just going to wing it. Because to me, and like I had an opportunity to like hold somebody's baby like a few weeks back. And I said, no, thank you. No offense. Beautiful baby. But here's why. I don't climb the ladder during the day of a pay-per-view before there's a crowd, before there's I don't get up on top of the cage. You know, if they make me for like a camera rehearsal, I'm always like, oh, don't make me do that. Because it's when you get up there with no adrenaline, it seems very scary. It seems 10 times higher during the day. I'm going to do it once on live TV with adrenaline pumping. I'm just going to pop, 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 go up there and jump off. I'm not even going to think about it. So I'll hold the baby for the first time. I've never held the baby. I'll do that for the first time when it's real, when it's life and death and it's my baby. And then let all the adrenaline and nature and millions of years of evolution take over. And then I'll be good.
So this one comes from Sophie D Loves BSB. What are your top three karaoke songs?
See, I can't actually sing. My voice is all messed up. I can't do anything. I can't hit high notes. There's songs that I wish I could sing that I just can't sing. Yeah, there's sounds that of a higher pitch, even just words in the ways that I just literally, my voice can't make that sound. So I have to choose my karaoke songs very carefully. So you stick with like the low stuff, right? Billy Idol, White Wedding is a go-to for me. Hey, little sister, what have you done? See, I can handle that, right? Bloodhound Gang, Fire, Water, Burn. I can handle that. It's a lot of words. It's almost like rapping, but I got it all memorized. So I can hit it when they got that song. Sweet Caroline is always a crowd favorite. Crowd loves that one. I went on a Pearl Jam Black phase for a while when we were at Dino's karaoke in Vegas, and I went on some Pearl Jam Black, and I think I kind of pulled it off a little bit, to be honest with you.
You know what I could see you doing that I think you would crush it just because you ooze sex appeal, according to the internets? I could see you do Let's Get It On.
You know what? I should try that next time we go to karaoke. You know, COVID's ending, people getting vaccinated. I'm vaccinated as fuck. I could go right out to a bar right now and go karaoke. Maybe like on the next Jericho cruise, we'll hit some, Let's Get It On.
This one comes from Deadly Gambit. I've been out of the dating game for 5 years now, after I was called undateable by someone who I thought was a friend due to my disabilities. My self-esteem has been shot, and I do not know how to try to jump back in there. Do you have any suggestions?
Don't worry about what anybody else ever said in the past. That's the past. The past isn't the past because it's the past. So leave it in the past. In the here and now, you know, look at who you are, what you bring to the table, and be yourself. You know, when you find the right person, it's easy. And they're out there and you'll find them. As far as where to look, I don't know. You know, sometimes they're right in front of you. Sometimes they just stumble right into your life, you know. I know at least one person who had incredible success on that eHarmony. I think that thing actually works. It's a guy named High IQ Quentin Lee. Was an old HWA wrestler. And he was like, yeah, I was just so sick of dating. So I went on this eHarmony and I just typed in, I like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. This is exactly who I am. And he just laid it all out. 3 weeks later, he met his wife, who he's still married to today. Who's like, they were perfect for each other. Cause he just said, this is who I am. Make no apologies about it. And sure enough, Rolodex comes through. Oh, there's a person exactly like you. So maybe technology like that is good. You know, I saw at least one person who had a lot of success with it, but also, you know, real life is all around you, man. So keep your eyes and ears open. If you stay true to yourself, your true love will find you.
What, man, that is deep. And I think that's how we end it right here. Mox, is there anything you want to plug besides the book, which is on pre-order right now on Amazon?
No, that's about it. That's all I got going on.
All right, man. Listen, is there anything that you want to close out with? Do you have anything concrete and a knowledge dart that you want to end on a high note?
We've had a great time here on Oral Sessions. This has been Oral Sessions with Emilio and John Moxley on The Volume. See you next time.
Hello, Mama.
What's going on?
Well, you know, just sitting here up in Toronto, my home, because we were at home orders. Oh, yeah. So, you know, that stuff.
I still envy that. I mean, I wish that I was there. I do envy it a lot. I mean, as much as...
Hold on, not things, the stay-at-home orders, to be clear.
No, of course not. Definitely not the stay-at-home orders. Those can go away. But of course, you know, keeping safety together. Doug Ford's got a lot of issues happening right now, it seems. I do just miss Canada terribly.
I don't blame you. It's great here.
It's the best.
It's the best. I mean, of course, then you have family here and it's that's of course why it's obviously the best as well. But there's also a good selection of food items, right?
Oh my God. So I just got a care package from my mom.
I mean, and I've got like, who did that? That is so amazing.
It's amazing. I've got like my ketchup chips, my bits and bites, my sour cream and bacon chips. Some family digestive cookies, because you can't get those here.
Do all Canadians love that? Because I love those.
I don't think I realized that I love them until a friend of mine brought them to me. And I was like, oh my God, yes, I've not had these in forever. Bring me all of them. So that's like now on my list for my mom.
For your viewers, what do you call it? Like an oatmeal-y kind of cookie?
Yeah, it's just like a standard like biscuit kind of cookie. Like it's very plain. And then it just has
it's got a chocolate coating on top.
Yeah, like a thin little milk chocolate coating.
And then sometimes you can put the entire thing in your mouth and let the top just melt in your mouth. And anyway, delicious.
And I've got a Tim Hortons cup here. My like Wayne Gretzky represent.
Oh, I happen to be representing as well, actually.
There we go. A little stratisfaction, baby. Okay. What were you going to show me? You were going to show me something right before we started. What do we got?
So you know how like the Instagram world, you see something and you want to like respond, but then you're scrolling. So you keep going. You're like, I'll get back to that. And you just don't, right?
Yes, of course.
So you posted a picture and I'm like, is no one going to address the fact that can you see this?
Oh.
Did you not ever address that? Like, does anyone ever call you her twin? You know, what's her name?
Melon Ackerman. Yeah. You know what? I actually used to get that quite a bit. And I was just doing an interview and someone asked me who the people are that I get. And I always get Kirsten Dunst.
Okay. I see that.
Sometimes yet. Kristen Bell, but I don't know if that's so much like that we look alike. I don't know. But I used to get Melon Ackerman all the time. Who do you get?
I haven't got anyone in a while. I used to get probably with my dark hair, Angelina Jolie, which Thank you.
Hell, oh my God. I mean, could there be a better one to get?
Isn't it the silliest thing to get so like, oh, thank you. Like they're not saying you're, they're just saying you kind of look like that gorgeous person actually.
but it's amazing. But I mean, listen, if I get like a relation to somebody like that, I'll take it.
Yeah. I took that. Yes. Yeah. No. And I used to get Jessica Simpson like back in the day when she was.
I could see that actually.
Yeah. It's a square jaw. I think that those are both girls have the square jaw. So yeah. That's that.
That is a really good one, actually. I mean, a lot of times I feel like people are just like, oh, you remind me of like my friend's sister. I'm just like generic girl number five. I'll take it. What else is going on in Canada right now? How has lockdown been for you? Because it's been on and off and on and off. And like things are strict in Canada.
Okay. So we got real strict this time around because we had to. Like, it's funny because look, I know it's a tricky thing to talk about because people get all like into the thing of it all. We don't need to do that here. But really the numbers, they just speak for themselves. The numbers were going where they were going. And I don't know if they're like, oh, real numbers and not real numbers, whatever. The point is our ICU units were like maxed out. We had like 500 beds available. We're at 542. They've taken all the children's wings. Like the hospitals are now admitting, they've moved them and they've admitting adults into those. Like it's out of control. So like, what else are they going to do in order to stop this? So we did like, did stay at home orders, but they were real extreme. They had like the two things they said that people went nuts for was, and here I was, I just came out with a girlfriend of mine. We just were like, let's just get the kids to the park. They know how to distance. Like they go to school. These kids are so good. Like you wouldn't even believe it. Like they're so resilient and they're so adaptable. Like they're just, they put on their hat, their scarf and their mask.
Yeah, but they know.
And they're fine with it. Like it's okay, whatever, health. And I know there's so many issues to talk about these little things, carpet, blah, blah, blah. But it's what we're doing right now. Right. And so they were masked up. They were distanced. They were doing their thing at the park. We're outdoors. There's low risk for transmission outdoors. And we were like, we were texting each other going, wow, that was great for them. .. And us, like for the mental break for us to like get out and have the fresh air. And it also, it's been really cold. So imagine being locked down and it's been cold, can't go outdoors. You know what I mean? So anyway, we just came off that high. And then the announcement came out that like stay at home orders are starting. And by the way, no playgrounds. That was like a huge, no playgrounds. They were closing the playgrounds and they were saying that police would be stopping people randomly.
I saw that they're like, really, like they're not messing around.
I mean, even me, I was like, sorry, we just came to the playground. It's my responsibility as a parent to social distance my children. Because what's the difference? Like, you guys can go to the grocery store, but be responsible adults, distance yourself, you know, like wear your mask, da, da, da. So why is it different, especially outdoors where there's literally, if any, lower cases, number of cases that have come from outdoors. Anyway, so everyone was up in arms. So he did come back and he actually reversed that. So he took that away. He apologized for that. So yeah, so it's crazy. It's crazy. I personally, I make lemonade out of lemons. Like, what am I going to do? I've just been crafts and kid time. And honestly, I've been traveling for 20 years straight with my career. I'm loving it. Like, I like being at home. My kids are never going to be this age again. You'll see how special it is when this special age. I look at sometimes the little one. I'm like, she's like this close to being not little anymore. You know what I mean? The last form. And it's like, I feel so blessed to be at home with her right now and just enjoying both of them and watching as they're growing up. And now we're doing homeschooling. It's very tough. Like my kid's seven. So like, what can I, you know, he's pretty independent because he's now experienced a little bit, but you know, sometimes if I go upstairs and do something, I'll come back and he's like looking out the window. You know what I mean? So it does take like, I gotta like, and I put all my stuff on hold for work.
I mean, that happens at school anyways, right? I mean, how often are you going to, I mean, I used to fall asleep in class all the time. My teachers were probably like, do you sleep at home? I'm like, yeah, but like this lesson's boring.
That's hilarious.
How do you stay? Because it seems to me like you've got, I mean, obviously you've got the mom thing on lock. But during all of this, how do you find your inspiration? Because you are always doing crafts and you're baking and you're decorating. Like you're always doing something.
I am. I don't know. I think it's just the drive to like keep my kids interested, keep them stimulated, knowing that they don't have like the extracurriculars we have. The play dates aren't there. Like I would just, after school, we'd go to the play center so they could just run around, be active, climb on the thing, do all that good stuff. And they're not doing that right now. So I have to find, that's my responsibility, right? To find ways to stimulate them. And really it's funny because people are like, oh, how are the kids doing? Like, are they okay with this lockdown? To be honest, they haven't noticed it. Like they're at the age, thankfully, like I know older kids are probably more noticing it because they know what a play dates are. My kid, they're not really established. So all they know is what I give them. So
they're there together, right? Like at least that you have siblings so they can like, you know, hang out together. Do they get along like that?
Siblings are siblings, right? Do you have any siblings?
I have one brother. Yeah. And we were like totally different growing up. So like we would not have been doing the same things.
Yeah. We're at the stage too, where he is getting a little like, Max is like getting out of like the shows that she's into. And so we had to like find what show can I still get them to watch, you know? So there's a bit of that, but they are now also, they're like growing apart in interest, but also now they're getting, she's old enough that she's a person to him where they can play and they can. And so they've been, I mean, the other day I was on the phone with Amy, we were doing FaceTime and I switched the phone over and the two of them were just chatting away and the two just walked by on like not even noticing me. And they've got caps and a base and they've got their backpacks and they've got pillows and then they're talking about going camping. So they've just on their own gone off and they've created this little thing. And Amy's like, oh, poor kids have nowhere to go, but they'll pretend to go camping, you know? So it was super cute, but it's nice that they are, you know, they have each other for sure.
Even just like sleeping in a different rooms, like, ooh, adventure, game on.
Yeah. Making like a new movie night and stuff like that and make it like a camped out. Anyway, it's fun. It's good stuff.
I feel like you need to be like my personal Pinterest board for when I, cause like I love that you do too. I mean, we don't have to focus on too much mom stuff here. Cause it might be boring for the like 99% of males that are listening to this. But I love that you switch out your decor for each, for all the different holidays and the different seasons.
I love it. This is my wall unit here. And I love it. I used to be my thing. Like when the kids would come home, I'd surprise them. I'm like, and there was like all the Easter. I do Easter. The funny thing is it started like this. I moved into this house, had these built-ins built. And it was like around September. So my son's birthday was coming up. So I didn't have anything because it was a new setup. So I didn't have the tchotchkes to put in yet. Right. So it was September. So my son's birthday was coming up. So I was like, oh, I'll just deck it out. So I decked it out for his birthday and it totally went with the theme. It was a hip hop theme or whatever it was. And then we went into October. Oh, okay. So I took that down, put the October up for Halloween. And then it was Christmas, put the Christmas up. Christmas Day. And then it was Valentine's Day. So it was just like, I was like, I don't need to buy tchotchkes. I literally can. But then Easter came, I did Easter. And then it was like, Easter was up for like May. And then I was like, when the little ones go, mommy, why is the Easter stuff still? I'm like, okay, it's okay. Okay.
Wait for Canada Day. We'll come in hot.
Canada Day. Oh my God. I'm actually going to do that just for you. I'm going to just deck
Please.
It out.
Please. Oh my God. I would love nothing more. I mean, I have a Mountie figurine that's on the other side of this room. I need to put him in the shot here, but everything just competes with this wallpaper. So there's really no point in putting anything here.
There's a point because I'm on your show today. So I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, there is a point. I have my Toronto poster behind me though. So a little shout out to that. Okay. Sticking to the Canada theme. Was it just like an active decision for you to always stay in Canada? Did you ever think for a while that you were going to move out of there or... How come you've always kept your roots there?
I think it was a combination of like just family roots, right? Like, so Ron, and of course my husband's like a lot of our friends are couples in wrestling together, right? So they make the decision to move. But my husband was an established entity here in Toronto, right? He had his business rooted and everything like that. And it's a family business. Never really occurred to us. I mean, there was one point we actually bought some property in Florida. We ended up renting it. And we just thought the idea would be eventually to get a green card and go down there. And it just, you know, I think you have to do like a 6-month stay there. It was like, I just couldn't do that. Like with my family, it never happened for us, you know, and more than happy. I mean, for the taxes, should I have moved? Yeah, probably.
Those Canadian taxes are gnarly.
There was a little run there where, oh, there's a whole new thing. Wait till you hear the new tax thing, but we don't need to bore our American.
No. They won't care. Like, okay, skip ahead.
Well, there was a little point where I was making American money and then the dollar was like a certain rate, which kind of helped my, you know, so yeah, that worked out for me.
I have thought about that in the past because 2 years ago, I spent the summer in Toronto and I always have those lofty dreams of like, man, what I would give to have a place back in Toronto and like spend time back and forth. But again, like when you have kids, it's just super unrealistic to imagine you're going to be bouncing back and forth. But yeah, when you look at like the American dollar versus the Canadian dollar, you're like, wait, I can get what for what? Do a quick little conversion. Like, can I really pull this off?
Crazy. I mean, in a way, because we're actually in the building business. So Ron is actually, that's his business. He's a builder. He does a lot of like mortgage financing and things like that too. But we've been in the business of homes and properties and stuff our whole lives together. So that's a good thing, you know, in Toronto.
Do you ever do like interior design stuff with him?
So back in the day, he built his first couple homes. And so we would build the home and then we would make them, they'd be model homes. So he would build them and we used to make a joke and say, Ron puts up the walls and I paint them. I didn't actually paint them. I might paint a couple, but Yeah. So I did the interior of, like, I'd pick the tiles. I would do all the interior for the homes. And that's kind of how we, you know, and then we've, over the years, we flipped a couple homes. So we've had a lot of experience just doing the interior design. I love it though. I love interior. I love interior design. I could, like, and just decorating, like, all that stuff. I love it.
So you guys are high school sweethearts. What, how do you pull this off? How did you guys first meet? How have you been able to, like, really stick it through this long of, like, your career, being on the road, him doing his thing? What's, like, the secret to your guys' success?
Okay. I think the secret, I would have to say, so I'll come in close, guys. It's just friendship. So back in the day, my boy cousins who were the boy cousins who I was a tomboy with them. We got into wrestling together. We wrestled together. We went to Maple Leaf Gardens together. So that was, we were really close with my boy cousins. He was best friends, went to elementary school with Ron at the time.
Oh, God, you guys go way back.
Like, we've known each other since we were like 8 years old.
Oh my God.
So yeah. and so when we played together, like, we, I used to want to hang with the boys. They would, like, oh, Trish wants to play with us. You know, so I'd play with the boys. And then it was grade eight. I was in on the school bus and I was like, he's like, oh, aren't you George James's cousin? I was like, oh, Ron. Oh yeah, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, I just moved up here. I'm like, that's cool. So what school do you go to? Blah, blah, blah. So we met each other in grade eight again on the bus. And then he went to a high school, that I didn't go to. My sister went to, which is she's a year younger than me. So they became friends. So he started coming by the home and became friends like that. And then I transferred to that school. And then I think as a grade 11, we were like best friends. And then we went through a phase where we were like that weird, like, so he had, I think he said something like, well, you know, as my girlfriend, I was like, where's the parameters? Where do we check off to see where we change the title? Right. And I think we became official girlfriend and boyfriend, 28 years ago.
Oh, insane. My God.
You know, when I say it, I'm like, that can't be right. But I'm like, oh yeah, wait, I'm pretty old too. So yeah, that makes sense. But
that's amazing.
17 years old.
That's really incredible.
So established from the beginning, forget that I was going to end up being a wrestler. He was a wrestling fan, right? So we related. We went to, like, we were around that same, you know, remember Toronto was like a hotbed for wrestling, right? So it was around us, both as children. When we started dating, and you probably know this too, there wasn't many females that liked wrestling, or maybe didn't say they did, but there wasn't. So the fact that I liked wrestling, we would take trips. I'll never forget. We remember we would go to Florida. We would drive to Florida. We would base it around, like, going to an event, like a Nitro. We went to WCW Nitro. Like, it was like part of our trip thing, you know? So we just had that. We always related, like, from the very beginning on stuff. And then we had our high school connection. And then when I went to university, I wanted to become a doctor. So I was like focused, laser focused on what I was doing. He was laser focused on, like, doing his own thing in his business. And we wanted to know for sure. We wanted to establish ourselves as separate entities in our own, you know, rights. And then, yeah. And then the wrestling thing came up. And so, like, when, like, I had to make the transition from school full time to my fitness career and then to wrestling. And so I always say, like, because Ron and I were fans for so long too, like, I think he gives me that insight. He gets the business. So what I'm like, I have to kiss the Rock tonight. He's like, cool. That's gonna be great for your character. Amazing, right? Like, as opposed to, like, what maybe another husband might say.
Yeah, of course. That's so funny.
When I would work with the girls, I remember Victoria and I used to be like, okay, let's get the Ron report. You know, like, he would watch, he would tell us straight up. He'd be like, Victoria, don't that move. Like, you know what I mean? Because he just had that insight.
Oh, so, my God.
It's important to how we are still together almost 30 years.
All right, Trish, I know that you're a very busy woman. You've got lots to do. Thanks for joining me today on Oral Session. So fun to see you and get to hang out. Congratulations on becoming the greatest female superstar of all time. Getting that Luthez Award. Go get it, girl.
Thanks, honey. And all the best to you. I can't wait to, you've been rocking motherhood. Like, you just look like you're like, just your textbook pregnancy, you know, like the way you've taken care of yourself and you're putting out there. Your pictures, by the way, were beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck with the rest of your pregnancy. And I wish you a safe and healthy delivery. And I can't wait to meet the baby.
I can't wait to FaceTime you after and be like, how do I fix my pelvic floor?
We're going to have a Labor Day chat.
Okay, great. I'm in. We'll do it.
Okay, sounds good. I look forward to our follow-up.
Definitely. Thanks for hanging. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me on this special edition of the Best of for Oral Sessions. We just mash up the best from the week, let you guys get the little highlights. You can go back and listen to the full length episodes should you choose to do so. I highly recommend it because there's some good stuff in there. It's really hard to cut these down because these chats can be so great. We really do have the best guests come on here and hang out, and I love being able to do that here on the show. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You can go back and listen to more of the episodes. You can also watch these interviews. on our YouTube page. You can just search Renee Paquette, search for The Volume Network, and you'll be able to find all the things. We've got the short clips. We've got the full-length interviews. Find them all on there. Like, subscribe, share, turn on the notifications, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys next time on Oral Sessions.